In recent years, pine marten numbers in Ireland have been something of an increase. And now that a pine marten carcass has been found in Wales for the first time since 1971, hopes are high that numbers there are on the increase as well. Pine martens are beautiful mammals, bigger than stoats, but smaller than otters. And along with stoats, otters, badgers and mink, they're members of the mustelid family, a group of short-legged, long-bodied carnivores. Its resemblance to the domestic cat led to its being named cat cronin. Is that right?
Cat crane.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here, Aina.
Oh, yeah.
It is chocolate brown with a yellow bib, rounded ears and a long, bushy tail. The Vincent Wildlife Trust is based in Wales and also has a presence in Galway. Jenny McPherson, who's an expert in pine martens at the Trust, joins me on the line from Swansea now. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Good afternoon.
Tell me, are you excited about this find?
We're really excited, yes. A really significant find. We've been collecting reports of sightings of pine marten in Wales for about the last 20 years, but actual hard evidence of their presence there has been sort of hard to come by. So this is really, really good.
Significant.
Yeah.
And what's so special about pine martens, in your opinion?
Well, they're a very charismatic animal, as you said. They're beautiful to look at. And because, you know, we have sort of very few carnivores left, they're a native carnivore, so it's good to have them. And there's been some research coming out of NUI Galway, actually, that shows that they might be beneficial for our native red squirrels.
It's really important. This is the first carcass you've found since 1971, and it was roadkill. I mean, before that, you just had to rely on, as you said, people who said they saw pine martens or actual droppings where you could get DNA from them.
That's right. We had a scat in 2007 in the Mid Wales area, but we've been looking since then, and this is the first.
But why are there so few pine martens in Wales? I know they declined generally, they declined in Ireland as well. But I mean, Wales would have wooded areas, they have a low population. Why are there so very few there?
That's right. I mean, when the pine martens declined generally over the whole of the UK, even in Scotland, they retreated to sort of pockets in the far northwest, and in Wales they were probably small pockets in the sort of least inhabited parts of the Cambrian Mountains. Say in Scotland, as in Ireland, they seem to be making a good recovery and expanding their range. But that doesn't seem to have happened in Wales. It may be, we don't know exactly why, but it may have just have been that they started from a much lower base level. They may have been reduced to much smaller numbers than they were elsewhere.
That's extraordinary, Jenny. Where I grew up in Limerick, there were pine martens about 25 kilometres away in Clare. And as a child, I was always fascinated by this mysterious thing called the pine marten. And my father used to tell me about pine martens. And we used to go around this area where there were pine martens. I was slightly afraid of them, you know.
Did you ever see one, Richard?
I never saw one then, and my father didn't either. But I have seen them in recent times, several times. But back then I didn't, and it had this mystique. But we always knew that there were pine martens there. And in several other places where the little residues of pine martens survived, they were also known to be there. Now, in Wales, I'm a little bit shocked at the Welsh and the English next door, because how could this thing have existed all that time in Wales and none of you cottoned on to it? That is very strange indeed. There must have been reports of pine martens. Surely you're not all blind and sleep or drunk all the time or whatever.
Stop
it is.
No, but you see, if you only get reports, you can't always believe that people saw it, because they're shy creatures. They don't appear very much. You see it crossing the road. Was it a cat? What could it have been? You can't rely on people saying they saw something.
But that's right. And in Wales, we have polecat as well, which is a very similar animal. So, you know, it's easy to see a polecat and think it may have been a pine marten.
Have you any squirrels there? Have you red squirrels, grey squirrels? What's the story?
We've got grey squirrels pretty much everywhere, and we've still got three sort of viable populations of reds, two in North Wales and one in Mid Wales. So, yeah, it could be really good news for those.
Because the pine marten is associated with having squirrels as its prey. And so, therefore, if you have an increasing population of pine martens, it might put an end to some of your grey squirrel populations, with any luck.
That's an interesting theory from Galway University. There are various views on that. It is said that it seems to be the case that if pine martens arrive in an area, the grey squirrels get clobbered. They're on the ground a lot. They're big animals. They're heavy, relatively big animals compared to the red squirrel. Now, the red squirrel, on the other hand, stays up high in the trees. It doesn't want to be a squirrel. It wants to be a bird. It's converted its tail into a wing and it flits around up on the top of the trees. And the pine marten's too heavy to get up and eat it or attack it. But this fella from America, the grey, is sitting down there on the ground eating beech mast and acorns and things, and he's a sitting duck for the pine marten to jump him, you know. It is thought, I've heard criticism of this, that this might work in the short term, but the grey squirrel will in due course manage to cop on to what's going on and develop a strategy for dealing with his new enemy, the pine marten. What do you think, Jenny?
We'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Well, the grey squirrel comes from America, and in America they have natural predators and polecats and wolverines and things like this. So in Canada, where they come from, where they came to these islands in the first place from, that their natural predators keep them from being a pest. But you see, they didn't bring all those predators of the squirrels over. So the poor pine marten, who's not, you know, the grey squirrel is much bigger than the red squirrel, we're putting all our hopes on the pine marten for keeping manners on the grey squirrel.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if it can just sort of tip the balance slightly in the favour of red squirrels, you know, in those areas, it's every bit helps, doesn't it?
Well, that's the thing indeed.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the stress thing. Colin Lawton, who was, I think, the man who first discovered the pockets in the centre of Ireland where the red squirrel or the grey squirrel had disappeared or declined because pine martens were in the vicinity, I think he has suggested he thought it might be not so much direct predation on the on the grey squirrel as stress. It gave him a kind of neurosis, and he couldn't reproduce very well because he was too stressed and he didn't produce as many young. So putting pressure on the grey squirrel might be enough.
Making them nervous wrecks.
Making them nervous wrecks or something. I maybe Colin Norton didn't think that, but I read something about that somewhere, and I think his name was associated with it. Emma Sheehy is the girl who did the studies. He's doing the studies now in Galway on this. So she's the one to consult. It's not our distinguished panel here today, Enid Lowne and myself.
I don't like that. Jenny, you're in the Vincent Wildlife Trust. You're working with the Institute of Technology in Waterford, aren't you, about mammals in a sustainable environment?
That's right. We've got this 4-year project that's been funded by Interreg, and it's a partnership project with Waterford and Waterford Institute of Technology and Waterford County Council in Ireland. And over here it's CCW and the Vincent Wildlife Trust. And it's working very well. Increasing volunteer involvement in mammal surveys and working on refining DNA techniques with Waterford.
So are you picking particular mammal species?
Yes, we've got a few key species we're working with. So red squirrels is one, pine martens, stoats and weasels, dormice, harvest mice over here in Wales, and some of the bat species.
Well, if you couldn't find the pine marten, you're certainly not going to find dormice. They're impossible altogether to see. Have you ever seen one, Jenny?
Yeah, we get them quite often over here. I know you don't have them over in Ireland.
I wish we had their beautiful things.
Can you describe one for me? Because I got an email the other day from an Irish person who tells me that they have found a dormouse in a hay barn in their area. And could you describe now what a dormouse looks like?
Yeah, you're getting all sorts of new small mammals turning up.
Well, I don't know now whether this is the person, you know, but if you describe now what a dormouse is like from a person who has seen one and knows that it's a dormouse, this will tell Irish people what a dormouse looks like. How big is it now compared to, say, a mouse or a rat?
It's smaller than a rat. It's about the same size as, perhaps slightly larger than a wood mouse. Just before hibernation, they're about sort of 30 grams, 35 grams.
And what colour are they?
And they're a beautiful sort of Albany orangey brown colour. And it's the only one of our small rodents that's got a fully furred tail. So it's got a furry tail. It's beautiful.
A furry tail, and it's kind of orangey, goldeny colour. And what about its ears?
Its ears aren't as big and mousy as some of the other mice.
As the field mouse, yeah. And it hibernates, which, of course, our mice and our rats don't do, unfortunately. We have them around the whole time. But the dormouse does hibernate. Now, how common is that in Britain and in Wales?
Well, as I say, it's probably under-recorded in some of the Welsh counties, so we're doing work on getting more people going out surveying and looking for them. They eat hazelnuts, one of the main food sources, and they eat them. They open them in a really distinctive way. So if you find a discarded hazelnut shell, you can tell by the way it's been opened whether it's a dormouse or a woodmouse or a bank vole that's opened.
Wait, do they open it or do they nibble a hole in it or what?
They nibble a hole in it, yes, and the hole is very smooth on the inside edge. So yes, you can tell.
Jenny McPherson, we'd like to continue on the chat because you're a wealth of information, like our panel here in studio. And indeed, we will be talking a lot more, of course, about wildlife, including hedgehogs, very shortly on the programme. So do stay with us.